Hola, what's happening? This is the Monocle Minutes Cosmos speaking from the future about the past and the present. Huh. Decisions. The working man's man. This is a good one. Stay safe, man. Listen up and enjoy these words. You can follow me at Monocle Minutes on Instagram, monocleminutes.com. That's MonicaLMenace.
I think it's time to blow this scene. Get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
Some of the same producers and shit, Bo Burnham and shit. And then Bo Burnham, I think he did Chris Rock's last special.
Fuck,
and he did Gerard Carmichael's last special. And then, oh, be careful, bro. And then, Gerard Carmichael, he did a Drew Michaels special or experimental. That shit was. It was interesting. Huh. It was like, essentially.
It wasn't like not great pizza at all. It's fine.
In there?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
I'm going to discard the one. Okay, there's only 2 pieces left.
That's cool.
What's up? Back at it again, goddammit. We had an episode of Tell Me a Joke, the guideline of chasing the dream. How's everybody doing? Come on in, man. We just have fucking having at it. It doesn't even matter.
Oh,
man,
shit.
It's good to be back, man. How y'all? Oh, I'm here with the homie, Kamari, and soon to be Dave. Dave's going to be doing some shit, but he'll be in here. How y'all doing? How's everybody?
I'm doing all right, man. It's nice to be hanging with you and smoking and stuff. So I'm in good spirits.
Back in this thing, man. Little recap for everybody. What's going on now? I'm living in Houston.
H-Town.
Living it up. But I came down. I haven't been back to Houston for a minute, though. I've been down in New Orleans for about two, three weeks now.
Okay.
Yeah. And, just getting the bearings again of getting back into comedy. Like, fucking basically sold that car that I had. Sold that motherfucker. Got rid of that bitch immediately. I was very grateful.
Where did you sell it?
Just this fucking little online car junker shit. And yeah, they bought that bitch like ASAP. Next day they came and picked it up. I was like, wow. So I don't have to worry about that anymore. Payday loans, nigga. I was down to 2, and now they're probably no more.
Is good. Loans are the devil.
They probably just gonna put it on my credit. But they still got 2 of them out there. I'll get to them when I get to them. But right now they ain't bothering me.
Okay.
So it's just like, all right. And I've been down here in the nose.
Never get a payday loan.
No, it's terrible.
It is a trap.
So much of a trap.
Yeah.
Just fucking unfortunately,
and I mean, it's legitimately a trap set up to affect poor people. So you know,
it's hurtful. And seeing their faces every day, every month, for like that, just not every day, but like every other week for a month, and then the next month, and then it's like, oh, now y'all fucking created a camaraderie. Y'all have a bond now. Like you know each other by y'all first name and shit. You know this person as, you know, it's terrible. You know, I got to feed you money. I don't want to keep coming in here. Like, don't make this personal. I don't want to know you like
and
this.
And it's very personal because it seemed like it was high interest on that.
So much high interest. Give me the backs. Give me what I can get.
I feel like the one time I was close to getting a payday loan, maybe I had like 2 instances. I know one time when I was like 20, and it was just on some silly shit. I think I was even just getting like a check deposited there or some shit. Mm. Not deposited, but cash.
Yeah.
But then it was time where I got just, you know, first year living on my own in a different city in Columbus. And then I was trying to pay back this debt I owed to Ohio State. And I was trying to essentially, like, pay day loan debt, which is wild when you think about, like, a college user. But
that's a real story.
I wasn't able to, because the thing was, they weren't going to be able to give me enough money. So it was like, we could give you like $800 or something. It was at this point, I'm like doing anything I could to get back. I had to pay a certain amount of money. I did not have it. I'm like, I got to do anything to get back into school.
That is the saddest shit I ever heard.
I didn't get the payday loan.
Payday
loans. I didn't get
it. Just trying.
I was raised in bad environment, man.
He was raised in a tin can.
That was options, man. It's the last of them right there.
It's yeah, like, I mean, it's complete desperation. You know what I'm saying?
Got to get yourself out.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the process of having to leave, I've been down here fucking doing a little freelance.
Mm-hmm.
Getting a little money come back in, so you know, since I guess all ends well as is well, that's the saying, all is well as ends well.
Yeah, that's not one I say. I don't have such a cheery outlook. I think it's all's well that ends
all's
well.
Well that
but
ends
I don't
well.
Know what the fuck exactly. That means. You know what I'm saying? Like, what? All why is well it well? It's ending. Like, I mean, I guess if it's
well
something bad, ending.
Well.
But
yeah. Well, I mean, shit.
You're on a new
now.
Beginning.
Yeah, basically a next chapter. Mm-hmm. And it seems like if I was putting these in series or whatnot, nigga, this would be the next chapter of mm-hmm. life. Just to I'm doing electrical, but I don't want to continue doing electrical. So I want to actually like get in there and really, really use these fucking attributes that I really like. I attain myself this mm-hmm. the shit that I've acquired over the years that I can possibly use for my entertainment and others' entertainment as well.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, this is it's been fun too. Fucking coming back down here, nigga, doing shows and shit. Nigga finally getting in it. And I thought I lost it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought I lost. Being out there for fucking that 9 months just puts you in a different mentality because people aren't thinking that way. You can tell in a different city that, oh, y'all have a different outlook on comedy out here.
Yeah, yeah.
And it made it difficult for me to, like, structure jokes and shit. Actually, it made it, like, places that you want to get up at, you go get up at, and it's not even worth it. I'm grateful for the experience, and I'm glad that I was able to go do that and go, you know, check it out for as long as possible. Nigga, 9 months was a long time, and I started this podcast, I guess, like 6 months ago. So, nigga, mm-hmm. it's just backlog and everything, mm-hmm. and it's like, oh, nigga, you went through some shit a little bit, and nigga, I'm a certified YouTube mechanic right now. That's what I feel as if I can fix any car, kind of, sort of.
All right.
Fucking with that shit that I had to do.
Okay.
I damn near took the whole engine apart. I was like, oh, but
that was deep.
Yeah, then I didn't want to change the head gasket. I didn't want to change the gasket itself. I was like, fuck that. I had a blown gasket. I was like, you know what? There's too much to do. There's too much to do to get in there. I don't want to have to do it by myself. It's going to take like a day and a half. And I'm like, I ain't got a day and a half to be tinkering around with this bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And at this one point in time, I decided I was gonna make the perfect joke about my car just because it was fucking making it, and it died as soon as I finished the joke. I was like,
man, was you able to get the joke off at least?
Or
you decided to?
No, I didn't even use it after that. I was like, well, this is pointless,
mm.
fucker. Mm. But, you know, then and there, knowing to get out, and I was like, I don't have to stay here. I don't have to do this. So, you know, I bounced.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been nice. It's been lucrative. Everything's kind of been looking up so far, you know. Been manifesting shit. Somebody came to me, what are you manifesting? I'm like, God damn it. Stop asking me that, but no. It's true. Manifestations are happening. Yeah, more and more I think about it, I guess the more and more it comes. And it's like, well, this is the dream, this is the chase, and niggas running full force, feels like.
Well, I mean, you know, as long as I've known you, you've been like a hard worker. You know what I'm saying? Showing, and you have like tremendous work ethic. So, like, if you definitely thinking about something and you like obsessed with it, I think it's just only kind of natural for it to finally kind of come together at some point. And you obviously gonna have your obstacles and shit. But I mean, I think it's just, you know, being in a certain kind of headspace, it affects you, like what you're doing creatively. So it's nice that I'm glad that you've been able to kind of come back here for a minute and like refocus and feel good about what you're doing again.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because that's like, that's what you was out there for, was the, like, if you out there and you're not feeling good about what you're doing for real, then it's, even if it pop, it's not gonna pop the way that you really want it to pop.
Nah, it felt like it was getting stagnant, and it felt like I was losing a little edge, like I was losing the touch, and I was like, man, this is not, I didn't want to, I was like, this is a terrible way to be feeling out here, like, especially, things got even more depressing, and I was like, well, this is not helping, ain't none of this really helping. It's nice that I can be out here and sustain for this long. It's crazy that I went out here just on a like, nigga, I'm gone.
Well, I mean, you put some prep into it, man. It wasn't
true. It wasn't just up and
you know what I mean. You went out there and visited. You know what I'm saying? It was like a nice law.
It was a little process that I had to I stuck with, and I was like, well, this is my goal.
I mean, I feel like you did a solid due diligence. You know what I'm saying? Like, shit, bro. You know,
to say I was dolo, to say I was all by myself. Yeah,
that's a hard part of it, man. It's that's so underrated. Like, moving with somebody versus having to kind of move. You know, you like, at least if you move with somebody, you kind of have your own little support system.
Yeah.
Just just off the strip. But if you move by yourself, then you gotta make connections with people. You know what I mean? Like, in a different kind of way. And, you know, that should take a lot of time. You know what I'm saying? Especially depending on how you, like, build relationships.
Yeah, that's... It was a fun learning experience. It was to be able to be like, oh shit, to actually notice that I was making some type of movement at least.
Yeah, yeah. Know, it wasn't like you
to know it. Yeah, it didn't go in vain. Yeah. To see that. I actually am accomplishing something, even though it's not to the goals that I wanted to accomplish it at, and I was like, oh, well, shit got done, you know?
Well, and it's like, I know I done read enough other comedian stories about them going to the spot and then having to kind of bounce back, but then, like, that puts them in better position, and then they end up, you know, they end up there again in a different position and they're thriving, you know what I'm saying? Or end up somewhere else and they're thriving.
Yeah, I like that. Is that there's a? It seems like more of a support system that I've came back to, you know. Because I mean, they had it out there, but it was very here and far, you know. Very difficult to get it, or very just difficult to be around it. Well, just for my situation, because shit, man. 4 cylinders, only 3 work, man. It's very difficult to get places in a big city like that.
Nah, that's...
But, it did beef up the poetry side, and it's like, well, this is new. You know, this is, I like this realm, and I think I'm definitely going to start pursuing that a lot more, going to more of those shows. I'm looking at more of them on the internet. I'm seeing more of them on fucking Instagram. They just got lots of followers, and they just put up people's pieces, and I'm like, oh, alright, well, yeah, this is all in the same realm of, like, y'all don't have what I have yet. And it's like, yeah. Alright, so as soon as I can fucking find a way to get in on that shit, we'll be really happy.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, that's what I think is primarily all about, man, is that, like, it's less the exact direction that you're going in than, like, that you going in a direction at all, you know? Like, yeah, you said, so many people are just stagnant in themselves. They not, like, you know, moving towards their goals or their dreams, you know what I'm saying? Like, you had this instance where you went out there and, you know what I mean, you had a you was going to do poetry still, regardless, you know, because you knew that was something right, that you had been kind of building up on. But to kind of have it where it's like, oh, shit, I'm not able to do the main thing I was out here, but at least I'm able to kind of redirect some of my energy towards this way. And then make what I would see is, like, serious strides in that respect to where I think, like, you could say either comedically or poetically that you, like, are really good in both respects, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, as long as you got breath in your lungs, man, you can do your shit.
Yeah, I've been really in really deep thought about just, like, the next step of not being afraid to do something, which is not being afraid to not always have a, like, that steady job, like, to make my own income. Well, I know I'm gonna probably have to get into something big. Like, right now, down here, it's easy for me to kind of pick up work and do, like, small shit for friends and all that. But out there, I'm going to probably have to start either doing electrical or something small. I mean, I got the leeway to just sit there and, like, stack up shit, because out in L.A., they taught you how to minimalize. It was like, oh, I gotta cut some of this shit out. Like, I can't, if I'm gonna live out here, I can't have this, I can't do this. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't be paying for this, motherfuckers out there with four jobs and shit, just running around with their, like, a chicken with their head cut off. It's like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
When is it gonna slow down for y'all? It's never gonna slow down for them, son. Like, it's always gonna be fucking fast paced out there. But on the outskirts, it slows down, but on the outskirts, you see where the poverty is at. And it's like, oh, okay. Yeah, this is what gets these people here, and this is what these people prefer down here. And it's like, all right, you see it, and it's like, well, where do you want to be? And it's like, I want to be where the fun's happening, where the action's at, where the good shit's going on. But you can't get there because, nigga, that shit's just fucking all dull and just it's like a toxic waste kind of sort of just looking at it. It's like, man, these mics don't help anything. And then just getting from there, you just gotta hope that somebody sees you in this. Nah, I'm not trying to hope that nobody sees anything. I'm trying to move up. There's, it's wild. Hey, Dave.
What's shaking?
Oh, not much, man. Not much. Fucking explaining life. Yeah.
Explaining life.
Yeah.
Feel like I got some explanations too.
Yeah. You've been doing big things there, sir. You've been getting it in and fucking following the dream.
Just trying to hustle up a little something for myself, man.
Yeah. That's a good hustle. It looks like a fun one. You know, from what I've been watching you've been doing, it looks like you're enjoying the shit out of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. I'm putting on a good face.
Yeah. After the old the old study hall that you had for, that immense study hall that you had for, like, what is that, 5 days? How long were you studying for? You just studied for hours,
I've
man.
I've been studying that same material since February. And then the test was 2 days ago, so I had to crush on the study for, like, 3 days hard. Just, like, nonstop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whew. 3 days nonstop. That was a. I seen it was a. It was a rather tough one for you.
It was, man. I was nervous about
to get it going.
All this banging up here.
Yeah.
That started The morning of the
test. The morning of the test, yes.
I went to 7, make myself some sausage gravy. I'm like, I'm going to have a strong day.
Very delicious sausage gravy, that's it.
Then they started banging. And yeah. I was like, this has got to be a joke, right? This is somebody fucking with me. No, the banging started and it did not stop.
Everything put it in your way to just go ahead and hinder you from your goals you're trying to reach.
I've come to almost enjoy, like, these obstacles that show up. It's almost comical how many things will get in the way of you doing something that, honestly, at the end of the day, should be pretty damn simple. How many small businesses are there in New Orleans? Everybody's got a small business.
Mm-hmm.
That's all anybody. Nobody has a real job in the whole city. They have 4 or 5 little jobs.
Everybody try to be their own boss.
Yeah. Somebody selling cupcakes and shit.
Something.
They all did all this stuff. I don't think they probably did. They have to change no diesel transmission to do their cupcake business. I'm in the wrong business.
It's that hustle mentality out here, man. People can't help but to hustle. That's it. That's how they were raised. And then you come down here and it's like, oh, this is a thing to do. And you go to do it. Other places, it is difficult to do. And it's like, well, you got to change your mentality.
For sure.
It's like, I prefer to deal with it like this instead of where I was at before. Which is...
Well, it's all right to have a preference. You know what I'm saying? But, I mean, just in reality, you do got to be adaptable. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's kind of the best thing it seems to be. But that ain't easy in itself.
I'll tell you, half of the effort that I put into my little thing here has been from an abundance of caution, because I'm aware of how many haters there are in New Orleans. And if you see someone else doing something good for themselves, your first inclination is to find some way to shit on it.
Yep.
So I'm trying to put up a bunch of insulation so they ain't coming to get me. And then just doing things the right way, quote unquote, dotting your I's and crossing your T's and shit. And that's the hard part. It's the little detail shit. All these
the little bitty details. And your details are all aboard NOLA. Yeah? I like it. How long did it take you to come up with that name?
I don't think it was too long at all. I sat there for a little bit and it came up. Honestly, that was pretty easy. That part was easy.
Yeah.
It just struck me because it kind of goes with the mission of it, which is to get people on the boat that haven't normally been invited to be on a sailboat. So all says that to me.
Yeah.
All aboard NOLA. I mean, that's pretty much exactly what I'm doing.
Right.
Now was it a good idea? I don't know. If you Google all aboard NOLA, you'd be surprised how much shit there is. It's 20 years of train articles. Not even real trains. Some little train in City Park. They got me. Wow, their SEO is on point compared to my shit.
Oh, shit. Because
you can get some detailed information about that little ass train. You can't find shit about what I'm doing at all. That's true.
It's a fun little concept, though, taking people aboard a sail ship. How far would you be sailing? Like, so what is the whole grand scheme of it all?
Man, people show up, I take them out for 2.5 hours at Lake Pontchartrain.
Yeah.
And I come back. Do that twice a day. The one in the evening, you get to see the sunset. It's a real pretty sunset.
Ah.
The one in the morning, I don't know. People who wake up earlier.
This is a sail ship that you actually have to interact with, to the guide and everything. So will other people be able to interact with that? Will you give people crash courses on sailing, or will y'all be like, just sit down and just watch me work?
I can sail this boat alone.
Uh huh.
If people wants to help, they can do as much as they want to do, and I can tell them what to do. Here you go. Who wants to help? All right, you're gonna get up here when I tell you. You pull on this line, you pull on this rope, get the sail up to the top.
You over here
do this, and if people want to sit there and chill, that is absolutely good with me too. I don't need nobody really doing nothing.
Yeah, that sounds like a good time.
Yeah, I hope that it shows up soon. That good time.
Huh. Sailing on Lake Pontchartrain. Yeah. I wanted to do so many things when I was out in L.A. I wanted to surf and do all that and get it in, but I was like, man, this is a lot. It would take a lot just to get into doing all that. And it's so cold out there. The water's so cold, and it's like,
Well, you know, I got in that, the whole time I was out there, I got in the water one time. I got in the water once, and I was like, all right, this is enough of me. That's, I'm good.
Like, you mean like beach type water?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got in there one time, and that was it. And I'm like, all right, I'm done.
Yeah, Mark, so. You only been to the ocean one time, right?
Nah, I done been to the ocean a couple times, but it ain't like, it's not no attraction to me.
No. I've seen the ocean warn you away pretty severely before.
Yeah, nah, for sure.
Because I remember we was,
this is I lost my glasses.
No, you didn't lose your glasses. The sea took your glasses. Check it out. This is so bizarre. We're out there playing Frisbee in the water. Like, you can do that. You definitely cannot. He's wearing a pair of Ray-Bans prescription
Ray-Bans.
Glasses. He loses his Ray-Bans. Laura Sanders, we all searching around like you're going to find the glasses. Nah, of course you're not. Yeah. Laura Sanders picked up a pair of non-prescription Ray-Ban sunglasses out of the ocean. Like the ocean was mocking Kamari.
He had to come up with this whole narrative.
Every piece of that's true, is it not? I wore some.
I can't remember the last part.
I wore them sunglasses.
I feel like this, maybe some sunglasses were found.
They were Ray-Bans.
I don't know if they were Ray-Bans.
They definitely were. I know because I'm
that might be
Ray-Bans.
Like a artistic exaggeration.
That's no exaggeration, man. But, you just got flow of memory. You smoke too much.
I did lose my glasses. That was a rough time.
My brother lost his ring, his wedding ring, numerous times in the ocean. Not just the first one, like multiple wedding rings that he's replaced after the first one.
How much do you know what them, like how much is he shelling out for that?
I'm not really sure.
Because I feel like after you lose it the first time, then maybe you just
maybe you shouldn't wear it. Wear it in the ocean the second or third time.
I mean,
yeah.
You shouldn't wear it.
No,
but
he didn't.
Is that a sign of dedication or?
I guess it's a hard dedication, but you know, you try to go deep in the ocean, hit these waves, and it don't take much. That,
see,
that, them so, seas the fucking
slipping.
David is engaged. You've been engaged.
Uh-huh.
Are you getting a wedding band if you get married?
I mean, probably so. Yeah. I mean, it would be. I do like jewelry.
Okay.
But I do like a sense of, oh, if this is going to be a thing. Not saying that I probably ever will. But, you know, yeah, I would get the band.
Okay.
Yeah, tradition in family that everybody has one. My daddy got a nice one.
I don't really wear jewelry. Laura already got me a pair of little alligator cufflinks that I like real good. They kind of
gator links.
Yeah. I don't know. It just kind of, it seems like it's pretty low on the whole priority thing. But the whole thing is kind of low on the priority thing at the end of the day. Like, we've been together for 10 years. I think as much as anything, we just try to, you know,
common law.
Acknowledge it. Yeah, we definitely common law. For sure we are.
That's fun. That's, yeah. Well, you know, we all ain't Lizzo, so, you know, we can't show our ass and just pop off.
Man, anybody can show their ass. That's a good thing.
It's true.
Now, how much, you know, the weather bears on that, that's up to the individual. My ass stays pretty much covered up this time of year.
Yeah.
Almost every time of year.
But, yeah. I've been thinking about, I've been thinking about going back into to the burlesque scene. If
come out in burlesque.
Ass has come out in burlesque. Depending on how this career me this career searching of me just joining into all types of entertainment fields, that might be something that I might take up again, and you know. We'll see. We'll see what the fuck happens.
When was the last time you've done a burlesque performance?
That was when I played Tit, Stephen King's rendition, Stephen King parody of It. It was Tit.
Oh, that sounds just terrifying.
It was a good time.
Sounds very unsettling.
Yeah. It was fun. It was funny. It was I was like, all right, and I was a token black guy, so I fit, and then You know, most motherfuckers don't really expect me to dance, but I was like, nah, nigga, I got skills. Nigga, used to be in a dance group, you know, I won't say much else, but yeah, so then that's surprising to them. They're like, oh, this works. You know, I see other motherfuckers that's other burlesque, however you want to look at it, people out there, and man, yeah, they're killing it. Fathoms, shout out. That nigga there, son. I had to host one of Honey Tangerine's Tangerine Dreams show, and he was there, and I was like, oh, okay, I see how you doing. It doesn't take much. So yeah,
I've been seeing a lot more burlesque this year than probably ever before.
Oh, they are ramping it up.
And there's it seems like the field is pretty thick. Like there's mm-hmm. a lot of real good folks out there doing some next level shit.
Yeah,
I really like at first I saw this bio drag stuff, and I was like, oh, that's a different thing. I don't understand that. Why that's necessary? I didn't understand. Mm-hmm. And then I watched enough of it. And I'm like, okay, I get it now. That's not only very entertaining, they making a commentary that not really anybody else in a position to even make. You know, that's one of the drag side of things, but still, I mean, it's wild stuff.
Hmm. Yeah.
So, did they have that kind of scene out in LA to the same level?
I don't know. I didn't. If you don't look for, you probably would be difficult to find if you ain't. If that's not something that you got your eyes set on, it was just, I mean, there's a lot of shit. I'm pretty sure it was somewhere out there, you know. But there was a place that I went that they actually had a drag show going on across the street, and I mean that was like the last time I heard of something like that happening out there. But I'm pretty sure there's a lot of it going on. I have no idea where.
I just saw like the championships that they had. They had them at One Eye Jacks down in the quarter. And it's so mainstream and insane now at this point that Poppy Tooker from Louisiana Eats on NPR, she was one of the judges on it. I was like, what is she doing here? And she seemed like she's, you know, pretty buzzed, as Poppy Tooker tends to be. And they're asking her questions, and she's clearly got a lot less familiarity with the intricacies of the drag world than anybody else there. Mm. But she's having the time of her life, and she's saying some things that I think had everybody's eyes jumping up. Not necessarily wrong or offensive, but you're like, wow, that's more blunt than it's normally presented. These are drag queens. They're pretty blunt.
Tuck the game on fleek, man. But yeah, man, it's been fun to be back down here doing all these shows and shit, you know, because, yeah, you didn't get as much out there, so. Being back, being able to get into the motion of building a set. Oh, man. Being able to think. And just finished watching Dan Soder's. That was hilarious. That made me feel like a good chuckle. They got some good shit on Netflix. They got some good comedy. They got good stand-ups.
On HBO, though.
Oh, that was the HBO one? Yeah. They got some good stand-ups out there. Not all of them are fucking up to my liking. But there's a lot. There's a lot going on. This is like another comedy boom.
It is a boom time. It's a golden era of humor, really, of TV, media, entertainment, period.
Yeah.
But the comedy scene, as someone who's been watching for a very long time and not invested in as much as I don't do it.
Right.
So, wow, you guys is up against a lot right now. Y'all have a high bar, both creatively and in terms of jokes being written, but also just like the perspectives out there. There's more perspectives than there ever has been in my entire life by such a margin. And the production, you know, and there's so many avenues people can get in, so many different places, that it looks from where I'm sitting like you basically gotta just call up Mr. Netflix and be like, hey, I got a little thing here. How much y'all feel invited to engage with this scene right now? Because you're seeing guys that was nothing
for real
a year ago. No one a year ago getting specials on HBO, getting, you know, this, that, and the other, and just kind of like finding ways to parlay the little shits that they've done into some sort of, you know, accolades enough to get these specials, some sort of credit.
Well, I don't know. I feel like some of the cast is, at least on like HBO, you still kind of gotta, like, they got like solid even if, like, even Dan Soder, I've been familiar with him on, like, the stand-up scene, but he apparently was on, like, Showtime show Billions and...
Yes, yeah.
So, I mean, and the campfire. Yeah, which is, like, that's one where it's like, you know, I could listen to somebody's podcast, but I'm not, I don't be keeping up with who's, like, the most popular
joint out there.
And that's, and that thing is, and, you know, and this where the, that level of fandom is more higher engagement, you know what I'm saying? You got, like, you know, like a sitcom, you could like a sitcom network star, but if you listen to somebody's podcast, like, that's somebody that's, like, they're buying, like, merch from you or whatever. They want to go meet and greet and all this other stuff. So the level of engagement between, like, the fan or whatnot is higher. And so I think, you know, in Netflix's case, it's like, they're almost looking at it as, to me, like a farm system. Because they had, like, the little 15-minute joints. Then they had some, like, 30-minute joints. But they're like, all right, we get these 15-minute folks in. And then when they really pop a snapper, we can... snap them up for this hour, and we already got it. I mean, they did it with, like, Ali Wong, to where, like, you know, they got her kind of, and she popped a separate from them. She was, like, fresh off the boat or something.
Yeah.
And then now it's like, all right, they done locked her up. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, you know, I think, like, I think it's all about, you know, I'm more about just the idea of the artist's more so dictating the audience than just where it's at. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But, like, it's, you know, it's obvious that if you was to have it on something like Netflix, you know, it's the most kind of popular thing in America as far as, like, getting consistent seen. Media. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I mean, HBO is still inaccessible.
It feels nice. That's still a statement. It's still...
I mean, it's a statement, but it's like, it's about whether or not you care about, like...
The statement.
Exclusivity, or if you care about, like, you know, more accessibility.
Right.
You know, for me, it's like, some of it is that, like, you still... I personally wouldn't know how to, like, broker anything with Netflix. I am, like, familiar with, you have certain, like, comedy production companies who have partnered with Netflix. So if you do business with, like, Comedy Dynamics or something like that, then automatically you're put onto Netflix. I mean, you even got, like, it's like a ton of obscure fucking comedy specials on Hulu. You got Amazon is producing comedy specials. I mean, you got it with, like, certain...
Everybody.
I'm the Prime member.
I mean, I don't know, man. Like, some of the stuff is, you know...
Oh, I feel like we got a Too Cool for School soliloquy about to...
Nah.
I've been dancing around the precipice of this for a couple minutes. Just let it fly. See it.
I mean, you know what I'm saying?
So you
narrowing the field. I mean,
he never used to talk like this until he was like a burgeoning indie movie star. When you're out there at Sundance, are you gonna have like a little? You have like what, a business card?
First of all, very few people even know about that. So it's
they're gonna see you out there. They're gonna be in the same.
That shows my humility and how little. That's not something I'm like just out here trying to like alert people to.
Okay, for the viewer.
No, I mean, I don't.
At home, Kamari is very prominently featured in a.
And we still don't even know what that is because we haven't seen the movie at
it's
all.
It's called
Bloody Nose, Empty Pockets.
Bloody Pockets, Empty Nose.
Yeah. Bloody Nose,
Empty Pockets. Bloody Nose, Empty Pockets. That's right. That's right. Yeah. That's a Ross Brothers. Pseudo documentary. I don't know what exactly.
Speaking of Ross Brothers,
it's been like pictures.
Giving shout outs to the Ross
Brothers.
But
even in the like, I've seen the little blurbs about it. They like about the film from their point of view. It's like real people in an unreal situation.
Yeah, they better make some kind of disclaimer. Yeah. For full disclaimer, I'm also in this film.
I would probably say prominently featured as much as I am, I guess.
No disclaimer.
Not much of a drinker. We all know that.
Yeah.
Right.
I, on the other hand, have been known to be something
much
of a drinker.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so everybody
was like egging people on to be
just terrible.
Drinking. I mean, not egging on drink, but you're in the environment and the whole press, the whole idea is like a bar closing. So I mean,
all the regular.
And I mean, I will say, while it's what I would say is like not on their part, but a social subtle manipulation, because you're in a social environment where you're in a bar, you're gonna be in a bar for. We was there for a minute, like a long time. For anybody that don't get that, I want to say down there 8 hours
Hours and just just drinking, open.
Yeah,
you're not paying for nothing.
Yeah, and
just,
so
just drink away.
That's a bad situation for someone.
And know, so
I acted a lot. I was doing a lot of acting.
Yeah, and they kind of gave him more like, at least in my, and not heavy, but just like cues, like hey. We're going to have this, like, moment where you do, like, a speech or whatever. And, like, so he had kind of prepared something to that extent, I guess. But, I mean, again, this is, we go back to, like, you know, they filmed a lot of stuff. It was an ensemble of people for this thing. And then it was other stuff that we went and shot after the particular evening in Las Vegas. And we don't, so through all that, they've been working on this movie for like 2 years.
I forgot we did.
You know what I'm saying? They've been, like, or I wouldn't even say, I feel like it's, I mean, definitely longer in the, like, pre stuff, but, like, as far as, like, the actual editing of the movie, like, over 2 years. And I mean, like, we've been keeping in close contact with them throughout, just from friendship and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you, like, they had tried to submit it before, and it didn't get that level of traction. But this time, it was, you know, they got it to where they felt like it worked, and then it seemed like Sundance is like, oh yeah, let's do it.
It's also opening at the Berlin Festival.
Ooh,
Berlin Film Festival. So I guess my question for you, as a burgeoning indie star / comic,
I hate you.
How are you gonna, like, is this something that you can see you being able to leverage in some kind of way to get closer to your actual goals? Huh. Like, you know, there's gonna be buku Netflix people out there and buku fucking Amazon, everybody else, HBO, they're all gonna be in the same room as you watching it get screened. They're gonna turn and look at you. Huh. It's not like your haircut is much different. You know, it's all pretty much the same.
Yeah,
it's,
I don't.
You know, I can't hide in that particular room.
Get facial reconstruction surgery. So what if I just start wearing like a ski mask? That's like my new thing.
You can put the little fucking doctor's mask on, like the little hip kids are wearing now. The ones that play Fortnite.
Get no diseases. I think first it's a lot of it is about getting my personal head right. For something like that, because it is a bit, you know, I find stuff like this kind of overwhelming. You know, some of it, it's like I feel like I should. The
truth
rational,
and honesty.
Well, because the rational part of me is like, I should just break down and see the movie. I shouldn't just wait. Because my thing is like, I haven't seen it. They've been like, do you want to see it? I have not really. Yeah. And it's a certain curiosity and wanting to see it.
Why
do
you want to see it?
Well, but it's that level of like being like super.
You don't want to see it neither?
Seeing, yeah. Being like insecure, number one. I've had like a lot of like mental, like I've created a lot of stuff in my mind, like people writing think pieces about it and looking at me negatively.
Oh, wow.
And so, like...
He's just afraid that black women are going to see him flirting with white
people. Oh, in a different light, and his mama going to see
it.
That is not how I raised my son. Don't you bring them blue-eyed devils to my house, baby. Yeah, please. Yes, indeed.
I'm gonna have to start getting ready to go to work.
Yes,
so. But man. To a certain extent, though, I mean, like, I know I'm like, that's me being kind of crazy about it. Yeah. But you know, the thing is like, I haven't been like, hey, cut me out the movie. Like, I ain't that crazy.
You so mistaken to question it that it just makes me sad. I feel like you're gonna fuck this up.
Oh man, I think you should just enjoy it.
You gotta use this. These are moments in time that when,
and so that's what I'm like. Because some of it is like, you know, I mean, some people don't like to say this, but it's like, you know, I got legitimate regrets you know, and I'm trying to, you know, make sure that to not repeat similar mistakes that I have in the past due to whatever. And I feel better equipped to like handle just being myself now. But granted, I'll be having some off days.
It's very vague. It still seemed like you were kind of dodging around my essential question.
Well, not that. I mean, like, I feel like, honestly, if I want to, for what, I really have a kind of, as clear as, you know, as it can be, idea, like, what I would like to be doing sooner, you know what I mean? Like, the kind of stuff I'd be interested in doing. And, you know, I've been able to experience some, like, pretty high highs. That I, you know, that you dream of, but then you don't expect it. And then it's like, oh, wow. Like, and to some extent, it's a level of, like, you very appreciative, but you like, fuck, man. Like, how do I string? It seems more attainable. So it's like, all right, what is the realistic means of, like, making something close to this happening? You know what I mean? And it's like, oh, this is possible. But I need to, like, navigate that. And so, you know, I feel like, you know, I feel like for something like this, it's, I still can't really fathom whatever.
Yeah, get an agent while you're out.
I don't want no agent, man.
No, like, dude, of course you do. And this is how, you saying, how do I string all these shits together so I get more of them? That's the next step.
Well, I mean, like,
then get a car.
See, man, car like,
and
a, agent. Those are your two goals. See, I mean, I don't know. I mean, we'll see, man. Like, I'm like, it's a part of me that's like very
self-defeating.
Maybe some would call that. Some would say righteous.
Righteous.
Righteous. Righteous. I would like to shout out Ross and them just because they've also shot my special, The Inquisitor's Observations.
Yeah, we need to get that out.
Comedy That's poetry.
Tony Ross and Bill Ross.
Yeah, from Sydney, Ohio.
Yeah.
Big Smooth.
Out here doing things, man. Doing things for the little people, man. And I appreciate that. I do need to get that off. Like, something needs to happen. Like, I've finally seen it. Like, we need to sit down and have a watch party, and I'll just play it. And it's like, what do we do next? Because I understand trying to do this by myself, nigga. It's hard, son. I don't want to. I want to try to do it myself, nigga.
You know?
Yeah, it's a lot of this shit that I have. I have all the pieces. I just got to put the puzzle together now, and it's big pieces, and I can't put these pieces together
by
myself.
To me, it's like, you know, that's understandable, so you shouldn't, the fact that you're trying to figure some of this out helps you when you have somebody to help you kind of put some of the pieces together. Mm-hmm. That way, they ain't putting the pieces together, and then you like, wait a minute, where all my pieces go?
Yeah.
And someone who knows how to navigate the situation, whereas you should not be worried about that. You should be focused on the creative part. You should be an opportunity to be in a room with a bunch of, you know, people looking for exactly what you are.
Mm-hmm.
You
know?
See, like, for me, my plan is, like, you know, I don't want to, because some of this is, like, again, we've talked to people about this, other people, and it's people that are completely unfamiliar with it, and they're like, oh, that sound interesting, and then it's the people that's involved in it that's seen it, and they like, oh, we dig it or whatever. For me, it's, like, I guess I'm still, like, a little, I have to have it, like, it's one of those things where I'm like, who is the audience for something like this specifically? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's a level of, like, me being like, is this an audience that, either reflects my sensibilities, or is, like, an artist audience that, like, is one that I think fits with what I'm trying to do? You know what I'm saying? Because then it's like, you know, it's a certain thing to be a part of it, but to, like, leverage it in such a way to be like, hey, like, y'all are with me now, you know what I mean? Like, because it's just the level of, like, as much as I respect them, like, I've had, like, certain, you know, just trying to figure out, like, how exactly I want to express myself and kind of realizing, like, oh, man, I want to, you know, that was more me being, like, kind of, like, all right, I'm all right with just kind of being in this and being like a cog, where it's like, oh, now I kind of want to be directing the cogs a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what most of my reservations with it is. But I mean, so I don't know. I've been talking a lot of bullshit.
Now you just gotta get to it.
But like I like that, you know, like I said, the plan is to go. I'm gonna try to go to Berlin because it's the first time I'll be able to get out the country and check that out, and then just kind of, you know, I feel like that's gonna be like
you trying to do that,
huh?
When you trying to do that?
February. For February, that's when the festival is.
Oh,
nice. But so, I mean, I feel like that'll be like a lot. I'll learn a lot in that situation.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying, and you know, and that's, you know, use that information to kind of go forward. I'm trying to like set some stuff up to where if anybody becomes aware of me from that and they will be interested in other shit, that I would have some other little nuggets out there that they could check out and be like, oh, okay, this is one realm, and then this is more his, what he's trying to do on his level. And then from that, huh?
I said right, yeah.
And then from that, kind of have it where it's like, all right, boom. Because I don't want that just to be the only thing. I'm trying to make sure I set up shit to where it's like, you know, this gives kind of more of an idea, like, all right, I'm this person that's in this kind of weird experimental film. But then it's like, all right, these are the kind of works that I'm trying to create. And this is, you know, I'm just trying to get more. I feel like that's going to be the biggest look I've gotten thus far. So it's like, let's have some shit ready for motherfuckers really want to get the look in.
The process.
You know what I mean? And so that's what I'm really trying to say. But I'm looking to, you know, I don't want to rush it, but it is some stuff that I'm like, man, it'd be nice if I can kind of get this going.
Right.
Like a website come to mind or not?
Well, I mean, I still got the domain name.
I gotta reinstate mine.
I contacted somebody simple about it off. Putting it together. I want to make sure I have. Some of it is that, like, the stuff what I'm trying to put out, at least right now, I'm like, do I necessarily need the website for this? You know what I mean?
It's
like,
so good to have a website, though.
Yes, you do.
Just have one.
I don't know. I feel like it's some aspect of that that might seem not terrible, but maybe a little antiquated.
Oh my God.
No, I think
so. Kamari obviously very concerned about his audience. It makes him nervous to not be able to pick and choose who's listening to his ass.
You know what that seems like?
The same way.
It seems like he's got a lot of Roscoe in him. He's got a lot of Roscoe. He's very, very skittish. Very skittish to go to the public. You know, loud noises make him nervous. Yeah.
He only likes
certain
ladies, but only
certain ones.
Nothing wrong with that.
So you don't feel so choosy. You feel like you do your art, whatever that is, and whoever likes it,
Come on through. And I want everybody to like it. I want everybody to like it, so he'll get it out there to as many people. I don't mind. Like, you know, I'm frugal. Everybody likes me. People like my face for some reason, and, you know, people want to talk to me. So it's like, yeah, I'm very unthreatening, and I understand that. And, you know, me being unthreatening, why not just fucking play around with people? Or show them what artistic capabilities can be shown.
You know? So you don't sit here spending much time thinking about who your audience is and whether or not you content with that.
No. I try to zero
time.
I don't even look at it as who the audience is. I'm like, oh, these people like comedy, that's why I want to be in it. Oh, these people like poetry, that's why I want to be, like, right there. I don't even, like, it doesn't even matter what audience there is. I'm like, oh, I'm giving it to everybody in that realm. Felt,
like, as a writer in particular, I would think about my audience once in a while, but I never thought to try and cultivate a certain audience with anything other than the work. So if I was doing the work, whatever the work was for the audience, whoever the fuck that might be, found the shit that I was doing. And that seemed like a pretty good automatic filter.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't going to get anybody that was, you know, diametrically opposed to my, you know, philosophy and vision if I maintained a certain amount of truth to myself through the art.
Right.
And if I did, they were stragglers, they're outliers, they're nothing I'd be concerned with. You know, it's a self-fulfilling, you know, audience generation machine.
Yeah.
As a result, you know, I have no audience at all.
Very picky.
It's very limited. It's very open.
Yeah.
The club is open, but nobody's in
the Nobody's club. Coming in the club. It's like, I'm not sure if I want that, sir. Huh. Well, there's always...
At least I never had to stress out about it.
Choosing... Is it that you choose your audience, or is it that you... Or is it that you want your audience to find you? How is it that you wanted to come? What is the easier route? You know?
I feel like it's gotta depend on what your goals are. You know, if the goal is to make art that's true to yourself, then you really don't have to worry about the audience.
Yeah.
If the goal is to make money, yeah, that's with what art, I want. Now you probably gotta be a little bit more selective, but yeah, that's more a matter of targeting people directly rather than excluding motherfuckers the way the Kamari liked to
do. Oh, okay. The direct approach. More of a direct approach.
You know, appeals to the people that you look and appeal to, and if this is a big enough group, then, you know, you put the thing out there.
Yeah.
Like Tyler Perry, for example. He knows his audience, and he writes exactly for his audience. Well, yeah. He's extremely successful at that.
Yeah.
And I have no reason to think he is not satisfied with his work.
Yeah.
If he is, he don't say much about being unsatisfied with it. Huh. And he's kind of run the gamut. He's run the whole spectrum.
He's doing his thing, definitely.
Plays and everything else.
Jesus. It makes me, that there is like, well... Fuck, I'm building a little audience, but, you know, it's just like these collective of people are just gonna see me from here. I just need a stationary place to where a collective of people are gonna see me that can constantly come see me and just build from there. But that's difficult too. It's just like, this is just one area, you know.
There's two different kinds of exposure too. There's people being familiar with you, and there's people being addicted to you. And you gotta find the ways to make people addicted to you. If they like your shit, they gotta hyper like it and want more of it, and not be and have a predictable avenue of accessing more of it.
Yeah,
I think that's important.
Huh.
Leaving people wanting more. A lot of artists tend to be indulgent. They have long shows. They have too many people on a show. They have, it can be indulgent, and that doesn't leave enough mystery. You want people to be like, "What? It's over already?
Right?
That was amazing, but I could have some more."
Right.
You know, and if you don't build that mystery, that mystique in there. Back when I was a fishing guy, we called it guide mystique.
Yeah.
It was real, real indulgent in and of itself, but. You know, we talk to each other, you know, all the guides, about little tips and tactics to use with your clients. And I was like, what happens if somebody asks you something and you don't know the answer? And they're like, that's easy. You sit there and you stare at them. You don't say nothing. They love that shit.
Don't get them full. Just get them well fed.
Act like you know the answer and that. It was just inconceivably dumb for them to ask the question. That's guy mystique.
That's interesting.
Shout out to Pat Kelly, best pike fly fishing guy.
Fly fishing. Yeah. Good ass times. Yes, indeed. Oh, man. Well, shit. This has been a very interesting cast. It's good to learn about new things. It's good to pick up new knowledge. It's always good to pick up new knowledge. I just came from Corey Ina's, and they just dropped a whole bunch of, because, you know, they freelance.
Yeah.
They do everything. It's just income. Everything is, man. They don't do no type of out calls. Everybody calls them for shit to do, and they go to their place, and all that is profit. And it's like, well. And so, you know, me trying to get on that note instead of just, you know, always having to work for somebody else and them telling me what to do. I want to be able to do it on my own. It felt good being down here, being able to just fucking get out there and be like, work, make my own money. And I was like, oh, shit, this was...
It works. Laura been freelance for like 8 years.
That's wild.
She makes it, you know, and she makes
it. It's so scary to get into that something else.
Early. She don't wake up early. Sometimes she stay working late. But she's working at her house in her pajamas, drinking wine and shit.
Yeah.
That's a good job.
Yeah.
If you can get it. And she got plenty of time to do. I mean, you know,
That's what I want. Whatever. That's what I. That's shit. I did a podcast with Samuk, and that basically what he does. Shout out, man. I rolled over there by him, and man, he explained what he did, and he works from home, and I'm like, man. He's like, yeah, it gives me the time. And I'm like, this is good shit. He was like, I've been out for 4 years. Just boom, this is me. And I was like, wow, you know. So I want something like that to where.
He's just one of the most decent people I've ever met in my life. I tremendously enjoy his stand-up comedy.
Definitely, definitely. It fits with this crowd of you guys, because this area right here, y'all are a fucking group of writers. Like, y'all motherfuckers write y'all ass off. And it's like, oh, okay. Like, this is well thought out. It's the dialogue, it's spot on. So you know, this is something to, if you want to learn from somewhere, this is the place to learn from, like right here, because like y'all skip no steps when it comes to like when we talking about something, or we and when we explaining things, it is just oof. I like it. I wish I was more constructed than what I am, but you know, I have this ADHD just makes me ramble, and it sounds like a ramble, but it's put together in my head, you know, so it's always gonna come out.
It's just rapping.
It's just
bullshit. It is a podcast. I would like to use this opportunity to plug some of my products, because I know that a lot of people like to buy merch.
Please, sir.
About this.
Please, sir.
Okay, we got catblunts.com.
Catblunts.com.
We sell blunts for your cat. I've recently launched a new line of socks that have my dog's face on them. They're Roscoe socks. They're available on petsocks.com, and I'll just send you a picture of my dog. You can kind of do it yourself. I don't know why this is a real website or product, but it is. I'm just going to piggyback right on that.
Lucrative.
I'd like to give a shout out to skanks.com. They are postcards for your favorite sluts. We use that term affectionately here. That's skanks.com. It's been too long since you sent her a card.
Since you sent her a card?
A card, yeah.
Oh, a card.
Is sponsored by stamps.com. I'm trying to be funny.
I always think that we need to go back to the days of if we try to impress women, or if we're trying to say we're sorry, we need to give them a pit bull puppy. We need to go back to
expensive.
get a good blue nose pit, man. You'll see Mariah, she had a little blue nose back in the day, nigga. Fucking holla, man. Kamari out. Kamari out on the way. On the way to go make money.
Yeah, yeah.
Go do your thing, sir.
We'll see. You still making that honey drink, man?
I haven't fooled around with it in a minute since I've been
fooling
back.
Fooling around. Holler. As Outsies on Kamari with yes. David Lewis.
Hey, man. Mm-hmm. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, this is a good time.
Always a pleasure, man.
This is always a good time. I wanted to get you on last time, but now it's like, all right, I got you now. I'm glad I got you to talk about All the Ball and all that, because Because that's some deep, that's some awesome shit. And you just like, fuck it, this is an idea that I got, and I'm going to run with it. And everybody in this house always, they come up with that, like I didn't know that Laura's been freelance for 8 years. Oh. That is fucking amazing. That's what I want. Therese, she's been doing that. She's just been on her own. And so I want to get a piece of that. I want to do that now.
It's
like, I don't want to.
It's awesome. It's easier, in some ways it's a lot harder.
Yeah.
You're kind of in a good position, because I think that there's too few people that can do regular shit, especially people our age. We talked about this before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fact that you can work on a car.
Right.
The fact that you can do electrical work, light construction type stuff. This is like the dark arts.
Yeah.
People like Kamari.
Yeah.
People like Laura Sanders. Honestly, Laura Sanders is pretty good at it. But a lot of our friends, I mean, I've had I'm not going to say the names. I've had enough people come out to help me on the boat that I can get away with it. Like, being specific which ones was useful, but some of them was very much not useful. And I'm down there, you know, working on bills, turning a wrench or something, and they're like, this other guy is here just to be my helper. And I say, hey, grab me that crescent wrench, that big crescent wrench there. He's like, no, he's real quiet for a second. And then I hear him kind of move a few things around. He comes back with a pair of pliers. I'm like, crescent wrench. He's like, I don't know which one that is.
Okay, say that the first time. Bro, say that just, the first time.
I'm sitting down here. It's okay. I'm like doubled up. All my weight is resting on just my neck.
Yeah.
Just tell me what you don't know.
Yeah, that's
you don't
it. That's all we need. I understand right. You don't know. I get that you don't know. Let me know that you don't know. Because you come in here thinking, you know, I'm thinking that you might know something. You know, but if you come in with no knowledge of anything, let me know immediately. And so we don't have this problem because,
I think that freelance for someone like you that's got like a little bit more varied skills. If I didn't come from the exact background that I came from, doing real work alongside, I shouldn't say real work, doing many kinds of work. Been working on boats off and on since I was in the Navy.
Yeah.
I've been, building light stuff here, this, that, and the other. I've been writing a lot. All that stuff, interviewing as a journalist for years and years and years, has given me a skill set that is invaluable for starting a new business, because I know how to talk to people, and that's honestly just like kind of a huge thing right there. You know, I can approach many kinds of people. I can go to a shipyard, I can go to a junkyard, I can talk to a guy on the country, I can talk to a local distillery owner or whatever. And I come off as someone who at least, you know, is a reasonable person. Mm-hmm. That's something. I know how to ask the questions I'm trying to ask. That's a huge tick in my box. That's a good one in my favor.
Yeah, I'm thinking about, like, doing a little, I don't mind doing little fix-ups and little small jobs for electrical. I know I'm not competent enough to want to do the big shit. I got the knowledge for the big shit, but I don't care to do the big shit. If I do have to do the big shit, I'll probably have somebody come with me. But other than that, like little bitty shit, I love doing the little bitty shit, and I would like to promote doing little bitty shit. You know,
because how many times you have somebody just wants like, man, I could really use another outlet right here.
Yeah,
that's easy.
Yeah.
To do.
Exactly.
That's not that hard.
Exactly. And so I need to find just the market just for that. Just to get into, or just find the people that need just that, just a little bit. So, and then go from there. So I have an idea of how I can just keep sustaining, but I don't know who to branch out to or how it's supposed to work from there, because I've never done it before. So it's good. I know it's gonna be difficult, but it's just like me taking this leap to go to LA to see how that. I've never done something like that before, and I know it's gonna be difficult, but I just gotta start doing it. And that, now that I have the opportunity to do it, I just have to stray away from actually getting. Well, I know I should probably get a job, but I don't want to get it.
No, don't do a job. You don't need one.
Mm-hmm.
Bang around, live rough for as long as it takes. That way you got the time to do what you actually gotta be doing, but you gotta be waking up and treating that like a real job.
Mm-hmm.
That's the job now. The job is Kyle. And I think that, I mean, this is just between you, me, and everybody listening to the podcast, but I think you fucking absolutely crazy to move back to Houston right now. You want to be in entertainment. You are a natural entertainer. You're one of the funniest people on stage in New Orleans. You've got a gift here. Or whatever, maybe it's not a gift, maybe something you just work for, whatever the case may be. This is an entertainment city.
Yeah.
There are motherfuckers here showing up every day on cruise ships and airplanes and in their car looking to be entertained one kind of way or another. You got Carnival, Mardi Gras right around the corner, shit, fire. I mean, Houston just ain't New Orleans. Houston's a good town. I bet you if you wanted to be a journeyman electrician or whatever, that would be a good, go to Houston, don't make a difference. But this is New Orleans, man. We got film, TV, we got buku stages. All people want is to be entertained, and people just got to have the audacity to wake up in the morning and say, how am I going to get my hooks in these motherfuckers today?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
New Orleans, man.
That is a way to go, man.
It's a real good town for that. You know this. I understand why you want to get out of the area. I get that, too. But, man, you still got to look it up. Or go bust by Houston for a month and see how much you like it. Don't fucking sign the lease. How about that? You know, get around there and see what the scene's like.
Yeah.
Fuck, you can go to Houston any damn time you want to. You can pop by Galveston, South Padre. And Texas is accessible.
Yeah.
Texas is very accessible. You got a car. Right?
Update. Uh-oh. Actually, yeah, back in Texas, where I will be staying at with my parents in Houston, they do have a vehicle for me.
All right.
They got a vehicle, but it's just a around-the-town vehicle. It's not a vehicle that's like, uh-oh. It's yeah, I got a Camaro, basically. I got a Camaro whip at the house.
Camaro whip.
Yeah. I can't come down to the city, but I can go around Texas. Man. You know, I can't come down to New Orleans, but I can stay around Texas and hit it up. So, you know, it's just a new area to go ahead and spread my face around, basically. And that's what I want, because there's places that I know I'm a fucking, I want to hit up, and it's like, oh, yeah, see, I'm going to be here for a minute. I'm going to treat it just like when I was in L.A. for 9 months. I'm going to treat you the same way. I'm going to go around. I'm going to make my face known everywhere. I'm going to try to be fucking the best in the room every time I go someplace and hit them with them whammies, you know, yeah. and go from there. And basically, that's all it takes. That's all it takes me to just, because it's something new. Like, everybody likes something new. So when something new comes around, it stands out from all the other shit. All most the definitely. Old shit.
Uh-huh. Most definitely. You know, and I think that's it. I think that's again, I'm seeing this from outside the actual stand-up comic perspective, mm-hmm. in the sense that I don't do it. But I have not only watched local stand-up comedy,
mm-hmm.
for well over 10 years now.
Yeah.
For better like 15 years, I would think. I guess it's been about 10. Well, not only have I been doing that, I've done it in 3 big markets, you know, relatively large markets, and I've seen it. I've hired these people. I've worked with these people. I've worked with stand-up comics because when I was running magazines, I'd hire them as writers because right. they would work cheap. And, I didn't have much of a budget. I feel terrible about it now. if I could look back on it, and all these times I paid somebody $50 to write a humor column, even, which is pretty much coming out your brain. Well, they deserve more than $50 because you don't get funny and good at writing like that,
mm-hmm.
overnight. You don't. It's not a thing you're born with. Everybody that can do that worked hard to be able to do it, and $50 is a slap in the face.
Mm.
But that said, I worked with these people, and I trained them to be journalists when they wanted to be trained in that way. And several of them have gone on to, you know, bigger, better type of careers in writing or branched out just into different shit, you know. And working with stand-ups and being around them for as long as I have, I can tell you, man, there's not a city with the potential that New Orleans is. And you saw it when you went to L.A. It's not even a matter of being a small fish in a big pond.
Yeah.
The pond is shallow and 1,000 miles across. Here, you got people who are begging to be entertained. You got places opening up every couple days, it seems like. New bars, new ideas coming through. It's such a vortex of creative energy in ways that are good and bad. But it seems like it's a lot easier to punch through in this town. Fucking Paul Oswalt, shout out to Paul Oswalt, who's got his International House of Puncakes show over at the High Ho Lounge. I've never been to that. I don't like those things. I don't like puns, and I don't like people who like puns. I have not gone. But I respect the shit out of it that there is such a show over there.
Yeah.
Because that is a clever ass.
Yeah, okay. Hey, motherfuckers, motherfuckers got shows out here.
They got shows.
I'm on Beefin' next week, goddamn it. Yes. Shout out to Beefin', man.
That's my favorite show. I'm going up against
Laura Sanders. Ain't that some crazy Ooh. Shit? Yeah, I know.
I heard that, actually. Oh, I heard that last man, night. She is going to tear you up.
Yeah, I know. I'm worried and about I can you. Only. I'm so nice though, and I'm
you
like, I can
to
only
sharpen
be...
the knives for her. She is mean. She already let me preview a couple,
you're going to get cut up. So you might as well make sure you get a few nicks in, too. She's got your number. You know why? Laura Sanders isn't like these other motherfuckers.
I know.
They write jokes the day of.
No, I don't for this do that. Show. Oh, no, I've been.
She's like on it. No.
Oh, I've been writing shit, too. But it's been a whole bunch of cute shit just because, like, I really respect Laura. And I'm like, I can't. I don't want to go in the eviscerator.
If you really respect
her. Yeah, I should unsheath the sword.
You got to take the sword. Yeah. I'm making like a sword gesture right now.
Oh, shit.
You have to sharpen that sword.
If I feel so bad. I hate doing it because I don't like talking about people like that. But then when I need to, I get in it. But it's like, man.
If you only knew what she was doing to prepare. Dude, she got like a whip that she like rolled in a bunch of broken glass. She been like holding her hand over a candle. It's... honestly, it's disgusting to watch. And it's very, very unsettling.
Oh, understand this, sir. I will take a whole day to continue to write about. Don't worry. Now that I know, I should probably go fucking just, yeah, take out the tigers out the cage. And
take the tigers out. Your set is not good enough unless you feel compelled to have a taxi cab idling out front. Because she's coming at you. That's beefing. That's a great show at the High Hole Lounge. And what that show is when? Next Thursday? No.
Wednesday.
Next Wednesday. Yeah. So that's Wednesday. I ain't got the calendar. Today is a Wednesday? Today is a Friday.
Today is a Friday.
Oh, no. We have to count it up on our fingers. 13th, 14th. It's tomorrow. 15th. 18th. Okay, it's December 18th. Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, look, great sailboat captain. Terrible counter. Terrible counter.
Oh, okay. I understand now. Yeah, because I was there. I was like, man, to go up somebody that writes, oh, man. And me just the feeling that I just, because Laura's so nice.
Yeah.
Jesus.
That's how she tricks you.
Yeah, I know. The tomfoolery. Oh, my God.
Oh, and she's not like she's playing to win, bro.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
She has won it more than anybody else. And I think that she really likes that she's won it more than anybody else. And she intends to hold on to that, son, winning it more than anybody else.
Honestly, on some fluke shit, I've never got out the first round.
On some fluke shit?
Yeah, on some fluke shit. I've never got out the first round.
You know, you would think Kamari, as funny as he is, would be a lot better at that, but he gets his ass handed to him every time. And I've seen him get devastated.
Yeah.
Just devastated. Just like, how do you wake up the next morning after an ass whipping like that? How? Are your eyes black? I can't tell, of course. I can't tell. Bloody nose. Ashley Branch. Ooh. Cut him in 2 or 3 pieces. It was a slaughterhouse. I love it, man. I love roast battles. I'm there for the blood, man. I don't watch bullfights no more. Not real ones. I don't watch boxing. I don't watch MMA. I go to this, man. I'm out there, like, I got my face painted up. I'm ready. I like a roast battle. I want to see blood. It's my favorite. And I get new jokes every time. The High Hell Lounge is a great place. A great place to drink. Really fun show overall. Lane Longyong and Ashley Branch. Ashley Branch, she beat up Kamari so bad, she got promoted to co-host. She was like, here's my resume. It's all of Kamari's back skin. I peeled it off. Will that do?
Oh, this is good enough, sir. Oh, that's good. Yeah, man. Roast battle. It's just, it's one of the things I cringe because it's one of the things that I'm such a nice person that I've had times where motherfuckers have rushed the stage because I've talked about people so bad, and it's just, it's like, it's hard to do that to friends, but it's just like, nigga, it's your turn to fight to your friend now. This is what's going
to
happen.
It's your turn to fight to the death.
All right.
Nicest girls you've ever met.
I'm going to take these next few days to just really get in it. Really get in it. Yeah. Oh, this is, okay. Huh. Well.
It's what's up, man. Your number, you know. You're up there roasting to save the world. That's how you got to look at it. It's just like Mortal Kombat, basically.
Yeah, basically. Know?
And you might end up.
Your might.
You might be Reptile, and you might look just like Sub-Zero, so ostensibly be ninja friends. No. y'all fighting now each other. Mm. Sorry. Finish her.
Well, man, I think we ended on that one, man. All right, thank you, Dave, for being here, dude. This is a good fucking time.
I appreciate it.
God damn it, this has been Tell Me a Joke, the guideline of chasing the goddamn dream, man. I've been your host, the Binocular Menace, a.k.a. Kyle Smith, however you want to say it. This has been David Lewis. Kamara was with us earlier. Shit, where everybody, where you at on the socials, David?
Well, you could find my personal stuff, but there's nothing interesting there because I don't really use it. So hit me up at allaboardnola.com.
There you go.
I'm Instagram at allaboardnola. We got Twitter and Facebook. It's not that hard to find it. Just if you see a little ass train in the picture, that's not me. You got to keep going till you see a sailboat.
A sailboat.
Yeah, if it's a little ass train, that's City Park. I'm the sailboat. We've got a sailing boat.
Before we get what Joker would you be? What Joker would you?
Oh man, I grew up poor. I grew up homeless at times. I was abused. I think it's very clear which incel ass Joker is the closest to me. Yeah, I don't like that. I'd rather be the Jack Nicholson Joker. He seemed to have a real good time. But nah, I don't think that's the one. Nah. So my friend Mark Lucas, who you've met now several times, there was a time when we shared a duplex. He was on one side and I was on the other. And I knew where the restroom was in that apartment. It was on the second floor, and there's like a roof between his bathroom and my bathroom. And so I would carefully note from the backyard when he'd go in there to take a shit. And I would go into my side of the house, climb out on that roof with a bullwhip, and snap it next to his ear because I knew he was jumping. I think we all know which kind of Joker it is that I am. It's the worst one.
Yes. Who is that? The Heath Ledger Joker then?
No. I think it's this incel Joker.
Oh, the new Joker, the Joaquin Phoenix. Yeah. Okay, that's what I thought he was going with. But then
I guess I kind of tangled things up there.
You did a little bit. Yeah. But then
if you fucking somebody Whaley on the John. You the worst of the worst, you know? I mean, that's just what it is. I ain't got no henchmen. He ain't really got no henchmen.
No.
He just had some opportunistic henchmen out there.
And his psycho mind is like, oh, this is how I feel about this, and now you die. All right. Oh, that's good. Well,
which one is you?
Oh, well, I like the. I enjoy the more of the cynical Arkham Asylum Batman, the one that they had for the game, for the video game.
Wasn't he all like beefy too?
Yeah. He was fucked up, and that was the one where you learned that you was offing people just to get at Batman, just to fuck with people. Like I enjoy that. Sometimes I go around and I'll just knock shit to the side just to be like, somebody's gotta pick it up now.
Cats do. I really respect I respect an animal that just fucks you to fuck with you.
Yeah.
You know? Because that's intention. And like, if an elephant brushes you with his shoulders, he's walking by you, he'll probably put you in the hospital and he might kill you. Not even trying. I do not respect that.
Yeah.
If I see a cat, though, just like basically fucking, or like just killing birds, what a punk ass fucking move. They don't even eat them. They eat so little meat on a bird. It's just feathers.
Yeah.
They don't care. They just out there to see the world burn.
That Joker killed Robin. That's like killing the bird. It's like, what you gonna do, bats? It's like, Jesus. You did this just so this nigga can get mad at you?
Oh, man.
That's really fucked up. Yeah, so, yeah.
I like the Cesar Romero Joker about the best. I like it when a man takes his role so unseriously.
Uh-huh.
Why so serious?
Why so...
So unseriously, serious. He wouldn't even shave his mustache off before he put on the clown paint. This is your old-ass Batman, right? This is your Batman in tights. This is your... What's the guy who played Batman in the TV show?
Adam West.
Adam West Batman. That Joker, Cesar Romero, had a bushy-ass mustache. And he didn't even shave it ever. Just skimped the paint on over it. Looks so silly. He's like, no, I got like ladies I'm seeing after I shoot this stupid TV show. Gotta keep this
stash, yo.
These ladies gotta need the mustache.
Gotta continue to stash, my nigga. Man.
That's hard ass shit there. Yeah, that's the one I prefer. That's the Joker that takes the role the least seriously. And it's a clown villain. It ought not be taken too serious.
Yeah.
Why so serious? This Joaquin Phoenix thing fucked me up for a minute. I was like, oh, that's awfully, that hits awfully close to home for like all white guys. white guys. Except for ones that had money. Every white guy is that guy at some
you
point.
You win. Sick in the head, sir.
Maybe wow. That's probably too far. Probably that's, I'll probably relate to him more in this conversation than I do in the real life. But, not none. No, I'm not going to say not. No. Oh, no.
Oh.
I'm glad it wasn't just like a straight up incel porn movie, though. I thought it was going to be way worse than it was. I was very impressed with it.
If his visions would have been something else that he was doing instead of his visions of what they showed us.
Man, it just looked like he was going to be some very indulgent to these, you know, tragic white characters who's out there, you know, these incels and shit who's exploiting people and, exploiting the internet to kind of cultivate this community for themselves. It's such a complicated topic that at the end of the podcast, I certainly should not have brought it up. But if you have me on again, I'd be very happy to talk to you
about definitely.
Incels, because that's what the people want. The people want to hear about incels, I think.
We can definitely get more into incels. I'm going to Google it, read up about it, Wikipedia and all that. Man, y'all have a good goddamn time. Thanks for coming. We going to go enjoy some. You got some drum. I seen that you got some drum. Was that some drum? We going to go enjoy some drum. Holla.